Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia.
Welcome to the Go and Teach Bible Study broadcast presented by the Monte Vista Church of Christ in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Ken Leach, preacher at Monte Vista, and your host for the next 30 minutes or so. The great prophet Isaiah once said, "Come, let us reason together." That expresses well what I hope to achieve on these radio programs.
Well, top of the morning to you. I hope that no matter where you are, while listening to this radio program, you'll use these things that we study today to make you feel closer to Jesus Christ. You know, the cross of Jesus, the old rugged cross, which is one of the songs that we sing at the church where I worship. The cross of Jesus is the hinge of history, and it's the hope of all glory. Without the cross of Jesus, we begin with no beginning, and we work towards no end. For a text of our lesson today, I invite you to turn to John, the first chapter. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, and I'd like to begin reading in verse 1 and read through verse 16. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being by Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There came a man sent from God whose name was John. He came for a witness, that he might bear witness of the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came that he might bear witness of the light. There was the true light, which, coming into the world, enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came into his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, "This is he of whom I said, he comes after me, has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me. For the fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace." We'll use that for the text of our lesson as we study the cross of Jesus Christ. To be saved, there is a message from God. And here's what it is. One, the Scripture is the power of God. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18 shows us that. And like Paul, we know nothing save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 2. It is beneath the cross that we take our stand, trusting that it is truly the power of God and the wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 24. To the family of Jesus, it is amazing that the crucifixion of God's Son is viewed with indifference and ridicule. Paul said, "The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness." 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 18. The Greek word for foolishness is morion, from which we get the English word moron. The preaching of Christ crucified to the Jews, we see in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 23, was a stumbling block. The Greek for stumbling block is scandalon, from which we get the English word scandalous. So we see that the inspired text tells us that moronic and scandalous was the world's estimation of Calvary. That almost makes one sick at the stomach to even say that those words. Archaeologists found in Rome a wall painting. It was a wall painting of a donkey head nailed to a cross, and the inscription under it was, Alexmentes worships his God. It's hard for me to imagine personally, being century removed from those times, the scorn and the abuse that was heaped on first century Christians. Some people laughed, some ignored the cross. Tacitus, who was a Roman historian, wrote, "The Judean world in the days of Jesus, quote, under Tiberius, nothing happened." It was under Tiberius that Christ died for the whole world's sins. And Tacitus wrote, "Nothing happened." The act of crucifixion has a meaningful history. Its origin was in Persia. Then it spread to Carthage and then finally to Rome. The earth was, according to those of that day, the earth was so sacred to the gods, it was not to be polluted with bodies of criminals, and thus they were lifted up off of the earth for their crucifixion. Crucifixion certainly was the favorite punishment of the Romans. Titus wrote, "Crucifixion is so evident. There are so many crucified that room failed for the crosses and crosses for the bodies." Along the Appian Way, during the revolt of Spartacus in 71 BC, there is said to have been 6,000 crucifixions on 100 miles of the highway that led into Rome. Crucifixion was practiced until Constantine in the 4th century. One sure evidence was discovered in 1968, where bones of a victim were found with his feet joined parallel with one iron nail, about 7 inches long, driven through both heels. The word Calvary in the 20th century is a most common word. We see that on buildings and institutions and books. Is derived from the Latin cranium, which means a bare skull, a place of the skull. Only God knows how many times that's used in our culture. Within the common usage, one might think is found oftentimes in the Bible, if it's that common in our culture. But it's only found one time and only in one version of the Bible. That's the King James Version. It is found in Luke 23 and verse 33. That verse reads like this: "And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, they crucified him." We sang in the song that I referred to earlier, "Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary." For the time of this radio program, the majority of this time, the time that we have left, I'd like to make an acrostic of the word Calvary. Perhaps doing that, we might remember better that old rugged cross. When I think of the letter C in Calvary, I think of the word cruelty. As close as one can come to hell without feeling the flames, I've read as describing those who died on the cross. It certainly was devised by merciless and cruel men, devised for slaves and enemy of the state. No Roman citizen could be crucified. Did you know that? Cicero wrote, let the very name of the cross be far away, not only from the body of a Roman citizen, but even from his thoughts, his eyes, and his ears. The ordeal, this cruel ordeal, began with scourging. The person who was to be crucified was beaten until the flesh hung from his body like shreds. He was forced to carry the beam, the cross, sometimes weighing 100 pounds, through the narrow streets to the place of execution. Rough cast nails were driven through hands and oftentimes feet. Certainly that's true according to Psalms 22 and verse 16 about Jesus. The warm, sometimes hot Judean climate accentuated the effects of crucifixion. There was a burning fever, followed by a raging thirst, a throbbing headache, a dehydration, convulsions which tore the wounds of the one being crucified until the one was exhausted and death took place. When Jesus died, the world groaned in protest. The earth shook. Rocks split. The sun refused to shine for 3 hours. The veil in the temple was torn from top to bottom and graves opened. Matthew, the 27th chapter and verse 15, the Bible reads, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. So certainly dead was Jesus that the soldiers who had come with order to hasten to death didn't break his legs and thus fulfilled the prophecy unknowingly of Psalms 34 and verse 20. Even though dead, though his side was pierced by the soldier, Isaiah aptly describes the event in chapter 53 with words like wounded and bruised and pierced and smitten, chastisement and stripes and griefs and sorrows. Never has there been such a cruel death. Our word excruciating is literally out of the cross. May we never forget, you and I, the cruelty of Calvary. When we think about Calvary, let our process begin with the word cruelty. Well, the word A, or the letter A, will represent with the word actual. It's not a myth, it's not a folk tale. It's not something that's been told for so long in our culture that it seems true. Jesus died openly and publicly on the road to Jerusalem. It was the season of the Passover. Josephus, who certainly was not sympathetic to the religion that Jesus brought to the earth, writes that there were 3 million pilgrims or visitors in the city at that time. John, the only eyewitness we know of who wrote about the crucifixion, uses half of his gospel to describe the final week of the life of Christ. 7 out of 21 chapters in the book of John deal with the last 24 hours of the life of Jesus. 1/3 of the book of Matthew, 1/3 of the book of Mark, 1/4 of the book of Luke, and half of the book of John are devoted to events that surround the cross. 255 verses in 21 of the 27 New Testament books corroborate the event of the crucifixion. Secular writers, Tacitus writes of the crucifixion under Pontius Pilate. Tertullian in the 3rd century wrote of the sun darkening. It was a Roman senator to whom he sent that letter. Cellus, Porphyry, Julian, all writers of the 2nd and 3rd century, don't deny the crucifixion or the events, even the sun and the veil being ripped. So when I think about the letter A in the word Calvary, I understand that it was an actual event, real. It was true. Are you like me when you see a movie or you watch something on the television and it says this was inspired by true events? Is it more meaningful to you? It is to me. It touches my heart more when I know that those things are not just matters of fiction. Calvary was a real event. It should touch our heart. The word, the letter L in Calvary, I think of the love of God. There are abundant evidences of God's love, aren't there? Look around you. The beauty of nature, the portion of health that we've been given, the sufficient fuel and food that we have available to us, our family, great blessings from the love of God. But the clearest evidence of how God feels about us is found in 1 John 4 and verse 10. He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. In that text that we call the golden text of the Bible, in John 3 and verse 16, we read that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. When Alexander Campbell, many years ago, addressed the joint session of the U.S. Congress, he started with that passage. Among the seven sayings of Jesus on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Matthew 27 and verse 46. The only recorded question that Jesus asked the Father. Only God's boundless love for sinners can answer that question, both then and now. Indeed, we can probe the depths of human understanding, but the love of Jesus Christ passes knowledge. Ephesians 3, verse 19. I know not how that Calvary's cross a world from sin could free. I only know its matchless love has brought God's love to me. As we continue to think about the word Calvary, we think of the letter V, and from that, I'd like for you to put into your mind the word voluntary. Jesus died the death of a volunteer. Though He was a victim of the ages, He certainly was no victim of the circumstances. Many there are in movements of extreme pressure and heroism and valor die as martyrs. You see all the time people who give their life for a cause. But let me suggest to you something. Jesus was born to die, slain from the foundation of the earth, Revelation 13 and verse 8. Therefore doth my Father love me, Jesus said, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father, John 10, verse 17 and 18. In Mark 10 and verse 45, I read, For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but minister and to give His life a ransom for many. More than 72,000 He could have summoned. Soldiers, 12 legions, Matthew 26, verse 53 and 54. But He didn't, because He volunteered. His death surprised the apostles, but it didn't surprise the Godhead. 19 times did Jesus foretell His death. The Old Testament prophets saw in great detail His death. The nails were written about in Psalms 22 and verse 16. The thieves that hung beside Him were written about in Isaiah 53 and verse 12. The fact that His bones would be unbroken, recorded in Psalms 34 and verse 20. The 30 pieces of silver given to Judas for His betrayal, written of by Zechariah in chapter 11 and verse 12. The fact that He was betrayed by a friend is written of in Psalms 41 and verse 9. The donkey on which He rode into the city before His crucifixion, recorded in Zechariah 9 and verse 9. Jesus died as the Lamb of God in a city where 250,000 lambs were sacrificed. There was one and only one that could remove sin, and that's Jesus Christ, Hebrews 10 and verse 14. When I think of the letter A in Calvary, I think of the word available. In a world where more and more things are running out, thanks to Calvary, salvation is available the same today to all as it was when Jesus died. Under the law of Moses, sins could not be washed clean. Hebrews 10 and verse 4 says it's not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. Nothing on God's earth had the power to cleanse except the blood of Jesus. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through flesh, God, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemns sin in the flesh. Romans 8 and verse 3. Our very hope of eternal life is in the blood of Calvary. Liberal theologians may erase blood from the text. They may erase it from their hymnals. They may call it a butcher shop religion. But in Ephesians 1 and verse 7, I read where God said, we have redemption through His blood. We are brought nigh by His blood, Colossians 1, verse 20. We have peace through His blood, Colossians 1, verse 20. We are justified by His blood, Romans 5, verse 9. Revelation 22 and verse 17 says, whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. The letter L in the word Calvary, I use for the word remembered. Nowhere in Scripture are we told to remember Christ's birthday, but again and again we're instructed to remember His death day. In baptism we're immersed into His death, Romans 6 and verse 3. In the Lord's Supper we show the Lord's death till He comes, 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 26. The bread of the Lord's Supper is His body, and the fruit of the vine His blood, Matthew 26, verse 26 through 28. There are some who miss the observance of the Lord's Supper, and they miss it without cause. It seems to be a minor thing to them, but to God is trodding underfoot the Son of God and the counting of His blood an unholy thing, Hebrews 10, verse 25 through 29. Calvary is the most precious gift to me. There is nothing that I can repay with. When I think of the letter Y, I think of the word yielded. It is by grace that I am saved, Ephesians 2 and verse 8. Yet I am lost if I refuse to yield in obedience to Christ. He's the author of eternal salvation to those who obey, Hebrews 5 and verse 9. To those who do His will, those are the ones who will enter heaven, Matthew 7 and verse 21. The cross has become a part of our culture. There was none that would deny such. On steeples, it's embossed on Bibles, it's worn as jewelry. It's an object of art. It's a theme of music and poetry. But I ask you, has it broken your heart? Have you yielded to Jesus Christ, the crucified one? When I sit before this microphone today, I feel so inferior. I feel so with a lack of worth when thinking about what Jesus did for me and for my sins. Have you considered the cross? Jesus was forsaken at Calvary, that I will not be forsaken in judgment. Jesus was numbered with the transgressors, that I will not have to be. Jesus was smitten of God, that I may not be. But it's of no value, my friend, unless we yield. Most of us can't imagine that we might really be lost, but the Bible warns that only those that have washed their robes and have made them white in the blood of the Lamb are before the throne of God, Revelation 7, verse 14 and 15. Jesus bore the cross. I must bear it too, Matthew 16, verse 24. Jesus was crucified. And like Paul, we glory in the cross of Jesus. Galatians 6 and 14, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Believing that Jesus died at Calvary, that's history. Believing that Jesus died for me, that's faith. Believing that I died with Him, that's salvation. Be washed in the blood. Know ye not that so many of us that were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Think, my friend, on these things. They are of an eternal nature. We pray that you'll come and study with us at the Church of Christ, which meets at 2202 North 40th Street in Phoenix, Arizona, 9:30 on Sunday morning, 6 o'clock Sunday evening, 7 o'clock on Wednesday evening. Bring your Bible, the greatest message that there is, the only perfect book in your library. Let's study together.
Thank you for joining me today. If you enjoy Bible-centered study, why not come visit the Monte Vista Church of Christ? We're located on the west side of 40th Street between McDowell and Thomas Roads. 2202 North 40th Street is our address. We have Bible classes for all ages each Sunday morning at 9:30 and each Wednesday evening at 7. Everyone interested in God's revelation to man is welcome. We also assemble for worship following our Sunday morning Bible classes, and then again on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Until next time, this is Ken Leach, hoping you have unlimited opportunity to let your light shine for Jesus Christ. Amen.